Once we lived in darkness, but now in the Lord we live in the light.
We will walk as children of light.
The fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true.
We come to see what is pleasing to the Lord. We come to worship God.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess
that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Mercy on us, O Lord.
Pray with me. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts, and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
Good morning. Good morning. The first reading is from 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, they looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, Are all your sons here? And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes, and he was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and in the spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then sent out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 23 responsibly with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
The second reading is from Ephesians, the 5th chapter. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ shall shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's really long. You can sit down. Almost fell. I'm going to use this one. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying, "Go and wash the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" It's all very confusing. He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud. He spread it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the Pharisees to the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed and now I see." It's very simple. Why so many questions? I don't get it. I lost my place now. That's what I get for making jokes. Some of the Pharisees said, "The man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them. The parents were not supportive, okay? Spoiler alert. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." Right under the bus. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And the man answered, "I have told you already what he did. I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses." We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes." We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" Man, it's rough. And they drove him out. Jesus heard because, as we know, places of worship are no place for sinners. Sorry for my aside. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
So I will admit I have a sermon prop today, and I was partway here and I realized I forgot it at the other church, so I had to turn around and go back. So thank you, Kevin.
Oops.
Yeah, it'll be fine. So, to be clear, this is my sermon. This is not my sermon. Lydia saw me with this, and she's like, "Is that your sermon?" That would take a while. Before I was a pastor, I was a SAM, a synodically authorized minister. And before I could be a SAM, I had to be trained in the use of the means of grace. Whatever that means, which include, I know what that means. To include reading a 60-page, aptly named document, The Use of the Means of Grace, a statement on the practice of word and sacrament. 60 pages right here of carefully crafted Lutheran theology explaining, sometimes in excruciating detail, that Jesus Christ is the living and abiding Word of God, who meets us in Scripture, which we heard, who meets us in preaching, and in water back there at the font, and bread and the wine. Right? This is where we meet Jesus. It is a gift called the means of grace. It's how we receive God's grace. And this document tells us the surefire ways and places that we know we will receive God's grace, where God delivers God's grace to us. All explained in the pages of this document. But after my careful reading and rereading, and I checked again this weekend, of this theologically rich, but admittedly kind of boring document, I missed a means of grace. It's not in there. There is another means of grace. Mud. Mud as a means of grace. Yeah, I did at the other place too. Don't tell Teresa it was me. She'll guess it was someone else. Also, you know what else is a means of grace? What? That's what he did. He spit on the the ground. You don't think he worked that spit up? He spit on the ground into some dust and dirt. He makes mud and he spreads it on the man's eyes. He tells him, go and wash. And I gotta tell you, it's not in the manual. Yet it is a means by which this man receives God's grace. Through mud. God's grace, it seems, can be messy. And why would we be surprised by this? The God who took on flesh and blood and bone in Jesus Christ certainly isn't afraid of a little dirt. I mean, he showed up here in a feed trough, in a barn or something like it. He's not afraid of mud. And this man, he soon finds himself in the middle of another kind of mess, though, doesn't he? Because now everyone's confused. Isn't this the man who used to sit here and beg? And some are like, yeah, I think it's him. And others are like, no, it's just someone who looks a lot like that guy. And others keep saying, and all the while he's like, yeah, I'm the guy. I just can see you now. And they ask over and over, but how is it that you see? And he says, well, this man, Jesus, he was like, and he spit, and he made mud, and he spread it on my eyes, and he said, go and wash. And I listened to him, right? I listened. So the experts, they are brought in to settle the matter. These religious authorities, they, of course, pull out their 60-page manual, and they say, look, you can read the whole thing. We'll wait. It says nothing about mud in there. It just says word. It says water. It says bread. And it says wine. It says nothing about mud. I'll put this down for now. What? Are you afraid I'm going to?
Yep.
That's all right. Ron is getting quotes for new carpets. Until then, I can make them dirty. Anyway, after they finish questioning him, they question his parents because they don't believe him. His parents don't help them out, and they certainly don't help the man out. They throw him right under the bus. So they go back and they question him again. God's grace was received through spit and dirt. He says that that's what happened. But they want him to say that he was never born blind in the first place, because saying that he was born blind and he was somehow received sight through mud would admit that God's grace does not work in the ways that they want God's grace to work. They want to control God's grace. Mud is not in the manual, so this man and his story are not to be believed. But each time, something interesting happens. I don't know if you noticed it. Each time this man repeats his story, each time they tell him that what he thinks happened didn't happen, his witness grows stronger. He starts off by saying, well, this man called Jesus in his first telling. And then he says, well, he is a prophet, until finally he proclaims, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And each time they tell him, but mud is not in the manual. When these religious gatekeepers finally cast him out of the place of worship, it's then that Jesus, the very one in whom and through whom he has received his newly resolute faith, the same one who dispenses grace through spit and mud, it's then that Jesus meets him again, even on the outside of that religious space. When Jesus heard that he had been driven out, he found the man and he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Tell me who he is so that I may believe in him. Well, you have seen him. And the one that you are now speaking to is he. Jesus seeks the man. Jesus finds the man. Jesus does not abandon this man. And I have to tell you, to anyone who has been kicked out of or never welcomed into a faith community because of their messy backstory. This is most certainly good news, because we are not God's bouncers. We do not get to set limits on God's grace. We do not get to decide who receives God's grace. And if God decides mud is a means of grace, then who am I and who are we to force God to go by our manual? Having completed my SAM training now, and my pastor training now, even better. The fancy title, they gave me this really fancy title, right? I am a minister of word and sacrament, which means I can come here on Sundays and I can preside over word and sacrament. And that is such a, as one who has had spent 3 excruciating years without a pastor, it is a wonderful thing to have a pastor. Well, you might not all agree, but anyway, it is a wonderful thing. It is a gift to have a pastor. I absolutely believe in the theology put forth in this very bland but very thorough document. We most certainly meet Jesus in the Word and the Sacrament. We meet Jesus in Scripture, in preaching, in song, in water, in bread, and wine. I'm thankful for this place where we can come and where we know that we will receive Jesus, where we will meet Jesus. This is our most precious gift. I'm thankful for this manual and for the multitude of ways in which I am confident that we all receive the gift of God's grace. And God's grace comes to us through some unexpected means as well, through unlikely people, through strange circumstances, through messy moments of life, through spit and dust and dirt made into mud. We receive grace in here. We do. Each and every time we gather, we receive God's grace. We meet Jesus. And I can tell you that we receive God's grace out there too. Jesus meets us in here, yes, and God meets us out there too. Jesus meets us out there too. We meet Jesus in word, water, bread, and wine, yes. And we meet Jesus in mud sometimes. We certainly meet Jesus in the neighbor with the messy backstory. Should we dare to listen to said neighbor with the messy backstory? My dear siblings in Christ, our call as a church, our call as a people, is not to interrogate those with stories that we struggle to understand or to arbitrarily limit God's grace, as if we could limit God's grace somehow. Our call instead is to invite those who find no welcome in this world or find no welcome in worship spaces into this place, into our lives. It is to listen. It is to be curious. It is to give thanks for their stories, their messy stories, their witness, their messy witness, even when their grace-filled stories don't make sense to us, even when their stories are messy. Maybe especially when their stories are messy. Word, water, bread, and wine through mud, just like this. Through messy people who enter our messy lives, God meets us. I know that God meets us. God's grace meets us in all of these places, because ours is a God who isn't afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty that we may be clean. Amen. Amen.
creator of heaven and earth.
Today we will, addition to those on our prayer list, we'll be praying for Craig. We will be praying for the family and friends of Jake, member of St. Paul Lutheran in Upper, young man with a young family. Young man, Jake, lost his life this past week. I was informed this morning through Joe Swain, that a young man here in Galleon, a very young man, 12-year-old Aiden, lost his life last night. So we will be praying for the family and friends of Aiden. Other prayers this morning. Let us lift our hearts to God. Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs.
God, our sovereign, we plead for your peace on earth. Bring an end to war and violence. We pray for the people of Iran, Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, and all those whose lives are shaken by conflict across the Middle East. Comfort those who mourn. Protect children and the vulnerable, and guide the nations toward restraint and reconciliation. Watch over all military personnel. Keep them safe from harm, and bring them home to their families. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God, our healer, we call you in our need. Uplift all who are made to feel unimportant, and transform the hearts of all infected by bigotry and prejudice. Care for all in special need this day, especially Devin, Chuck, Jack, Tammy, Doug, Keith, Clint, Barb, Linda, Ed. We lift to you Craig. We lift to you Aiden and Jake. Sorry. We lift to you the family and friends of Aiden, the family and friends of Jake. We lift those in our long-term homebound assisted living and limited mobility prayer lists, and those that we name either aloud in our or in the silence of our hearts now. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God, our home, we thank you for all who have died and completed their baptismal journeys, especially the saints of First Lutheran Church. Grant us faith to live until we too dwell in your house forever. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive these and all our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, who is our strength and our salvation. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace. Continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Pray with me. O God, maker of heaven and earth, your steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its bounty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We are not God's bouncers. We do not get to limit God's grace. We do not get to decide who receive God's grace. And therefore, any and all are welcome at this table to receive these, the gifts through which we receive God's grace.
This is the body of Christ.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our souls, reconciles us to you, and strengthens us for the journey. Through the body and blood of your Son, may we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Lest I forget to announce it, I will start with it. Today serves as our first official notification, per the Constitution of the Church, of a meeting 2 Sundays from today. So the council has decided to bring forward to the congregation for a meeting consideration of a new sound and video system for the church. That speaker up there is about 35 years old. The soundboard and its associated parts and pieces, also 35 years old. And I think roughly once a Sunday at this point, Randy and Jeff have to flip it on and flip it back off in order to make it worky-worky again. So we rely on that for folks who listen online, and I know folks that listen online, and to send a CD out to members that cannot be here. So we will be considering that for a vote at that meeting. The reason for said vote is it is an unbudgeted expense that is rather pricey. It's about $16,000. We will happily accept donations for said system. So if you are interested in donating towards this, it may make the let us know ahead of time, and it may make the conversation go even easier on 2 Sundays from now. Are there questions on that, or do you just want to wait for the meeting? Or you can ask either me or Jeff, was heavily involved, Ron and Randy. You can ask questions to any of us. All right. Other announcements this morning. I don't see any additional announcements. Anyone have anything? Please keep the family of Aiden in your prayers. That just happened. It's very, very new and fresh. Not sure what that family will need, but please keep your ears open. And if there's something that we can do as a faith community, please let us know. But please keep them in your prayers. With that, please stand in body or in spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. extra grace today. I've got a container of dirt up there. Children of the light, Christ has met us here.
Walk in what is good and right and true.
Go forth reflecting the light of Christ in the world.
We will.